దేవికి శ్రీమతి తులసి మహారాణికి సమవేత గౌర భక్త బృందకి నితాయ గౌర ప్రేమానందే ఆల్ గ్లోరిస్ట్ ది అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరిస్ట్ ది అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరిస్ట్ ది అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు శ్రీ గురు శ్రీ గౌరాంగ ఓం అజ్ఞానతిమిరంధస్య జ్ఞానంజనశలాకయా చక్షురోన్మిలితం యేన తస్మై శ్రీగురవే నమః శ్రీచైతన్యమనోవిష్టం స్థాపితం యేన భూతలే స్వయం రూప కదామైహం దదాతి స్వపదాంతికం వందేహం శ్రీగురో శ్రీయుతపదకమలం శ్రీగరుణ్ వైష్ణవాంశ శ్రీరూపం సాగ్రజాతం సహగణరఘునాథాంబితాం తం సజీవం సాద్వైతం సావధూతం పరిజనసహితం కృష్ణచైతన్యదేవం శ్రీరాధాకృష్ణపదాన్ సహగణలలితా శ్రీవిశాఖాన్వితాంశ్చ హే కృష్ణ కరుణా సింధు దీనబంధు జగత్పతే గోపేశ గోపికాకాంత రాధాకాంత నమస్తుతే తప్త కాంచన గౌరాంగీ రాధే వృందావనేశ్వరీ వృషభానుసుతే దేవి ప్రణమామి హరి ప్రియే వంచాకల్పతరుభ్యశ్చ కృపాసింధుభ్యైవ చ పతితానాం పావనేభ్యో వైష్ణవేభ్యో నమో నమః జయ శ్రీ కృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధార శ్రీవాసది గౌర భక్త బృందం హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ 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 హరే 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 కృష్ణ సో వెల్కమ్ ఆల్ ఫర్ దిస్ సండే ఫెస్ట్ ప్రోగ్రామ్ ఐ వాజ్ థింకింగ్ వాట్ టు స్పీక్ టుడే Then I decided to speak on something that I have been speaking since last 1 year, many places, except here. So I thought I'll just share with the devotees in Radha Gopinath Temple. Volume thoda. So today we'll be discussing about what is a really well-being diet. Because we have seen even after becoming vegetarian, even after becoming, you know, taking prasadam, still there is a lot of health issues, health problem. So since I have been in the, like Prabhuji introduced me as a cook, I have been cooking since 20 years almost. So I thought, let us try to explore more on what is a good diet. So to beginning with, we have divided in three aspects. One is diet for the body, diet for the mind, and diet for the soul. So three aspects: diet for the body, diet for the mind, and diet for the soul. So first is, what is a good diet for the body? Okay. So these are the things that we'll discuss under this. What is a good diet for the body? It should be organic to start with. It should be organic food. It should be a balanced diet. It should be sattvic in nature and should be digestible. These are the things we'll discuss. Okay. Now we'll take one after other. First is organic food. Now what is organic food? And there is a quote like this in English. It says, came from a plant, eat it. Made in a plant, don't. You know, in English language, Plant also means factories. You know, plant is also means factory. So food which is made in a factory, we are not supposed to eat. And food which is produced in the plants, in the garden, in the agriculture field, those kind of food coming out of the plants, we should eat. Why it is so? Because in many of these plant products, the factory products, a lot of chemical goes in the processing. Preservatives, additives, you know, acidity regulator. So many chemicals go into the food. And these chemicals are not our natural diet for our body. This chemical is not natural diet. So as a result, when we eat those things, those chemicals enter our system, causing a lot of health issues. If I give you those chemicals, just the chemical, not the food, so say for example, so many potato chips come in the market and so many companies, these potato chips have a lot of chemicals in it to preserve it, to enhance the test enhancers. So if I just give you the chemicals, not the chips, just the chemicals, and ask you to eat, will you be able to eat it? Huh? You'll spit it out instantly, right? So, therefore these chemicals, our body doesn't know them. They just come as an intruder. Now food is such an intimate part of our life that every day we take it right inside our body. You know, food. Something that is you take right inside our body, you know, it goes inside. That means if we don't examine what is going inside in a proper way, it is going to create problem, right? So therefore, in Ayurveda it is said the main source of disease or the root cause of all disease is the stomach, where the food goes. If the food is not right, then how can we expect it to give us good health? So therefore, the first point is, we should eat products that is directly coming from the farm, because our body is given by Mother Earth, right? Earth, water, air, fire, ether, mind, intelligence, ego, Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita. This is what Pancha Mahabhuta are made up of, right? And the same earth which gives us our body also gives us our food. Just like a baby gets from mother the milk. The same body the baby comes out and the same body nourishes the baby. You know, human, animals, all the species we see. The baby comes out, the child comes out, the child depends on the same person, same body to get the nourishment. Similarly, Mother Earth, she gives us our body and she also gives all the food that we need to sustain, to live. Therefore, it is explained that food coming from the plants of Mother Earth we should consume, not from the plants or factories where a lot of chemicals are added which is not given by Mother Earth. It's a very simple formula, right? So now the question is, these chemicals, not just in the factory products, they are now everywhere, right? So first, we should fast on the fast foods, okay? No fast, no cheap food. It has to be proper, organic. But the problem is that the food we eat can be either the safest or most powerful form of medicine or the slowest form of poison. There's another statement like this. We see that nowadays in every vegetables, a lot of chemicals are coming also. Pesticides, insecticides, pesticides, so many things are coming. Everybody knows it, right? More or less. And there are certain things we cannot change, like something they call genetically modified, GMO food. Genetically modified. Genetically modified food is something we can hardly do anything about it, because it is really done in a very, very subtle level. Gene level, genetically. So what best we can do, we can ask whether it is a genetically modified food or not. In India, there is no way we can find out. Most of them are already done. And this green revolution and all those revolutions, they have all these. Wherever technology entered, there created a lot of problems. You know, technology entered transportation so long, so much of greenhouse gases, so much of global warming is happening. So now technology has entered the food chain, right from the seeds to the product that we get at your home. Is all technologically, technology has entered into each area. As a result, the food is kind of poison. So now what to do? Even if it is coming from plant, still it has a lot of chemicals. So then the best way is that we have to be, first of all, careful. And we have to do certain things to avoid as much chemical as possible. So first of all, we should try to avoid genetically modified food. That certain, everybody should do some little bit of research to find out. All seasonal foods are good. You know, they're not so much of a problem. The grains, even the vegetables, they're all now genetically modified. I remember in my childhood, the tomatoes used to have very thin skin, thin soft skin. You know, it's, you can actually take raw tomatoes also, no problem. Those who are in, you know, generations from 50s, 60s, they can relate to this. It's soft tomatoes. But nowadays, tomatoes are very thick skin. It's tomato is tough to cut, but easy to cook. You know, it's this, the knife, they get blunt by cutting tomatoes because skin are become very thick. Then somebody was telling me, I don't know how far it is true, because the pig's skins are very thick, you know, pig, boar. So they have genetically mixed pig gene into tomato gene to make the skin thick, so that in transportation it is not spoiled. You know, transportation, a lot of tomatoes get spoiled, and tomato is the basis of taste. It goes practical to all kind of cuisines. So therefore, genetically they have modified, and transportation is there, preservations are there, all these things creates a lot of problem in the food chain. So then what we should do? We should try to avoid as much of this genetically modified food as possible. Some recommend you take out the skin, whatever. But more than that is the pesticides, which is live, which is a live poison. It is not live, it kills the life, basically. So therefore, these grains or vegetables, we need to wash them again and again and again to get rid of all these chemicals. But certain chemicals still, they don't go away. They still stuck to the food. Therefore, there are various techniques have come in the modern time. You know, first we create a problem, then we create another solution. but we have to use it to stay healthy. There are certain machines that are available nowadays. Amazon also is available. It's called ozonization. There is a machine which will create ozone gas. Ozone is in the top layer of atmosphere, the same thing it can create. And that ozone goes into the vegetables, whatever fruits, we put it in the certain medium, some water medium. Then use this machine to create a lot of ozone. And the ozonization, what happens? The ozone is a very active oxidizing agent. So it goes and reacts with all the chemicals on the surface of the vegetables and the fruits and neutralizes them. Basically, oxidize them and they settle down. It can be washed up. So the thing is, one good thing is, these pesticides and chemicals, they cannot enter into the food. The skin, they protects naturally. That's the good news. It cannot enter into the food. But if it stays outside and goes into our body, it can create problems. Even if one is vegetarian, people say, ask, why devotees get cancer? They have a good lifestyle. clean lifestyle. They are vegetarian. They don't eat meat and all those things. They don't smoke. They don't drink. Why do they get cancer? So all this food, all these chemicals which come with the food, unknown to our system, unknown to our intelligence, goes into the body and creates a problem. See, it is said our stomach is as good as our brain. You know, brains, how many neurons are there? Surrounding stomach is that many neurons are there. Why is it there? To scan if the food is right or wrong. Because from there we collect, right? This elementary canal starting from our mouth to the anus is basically like a highway. It's a highway. It enters on one end, it's like a tunnel, enters from one end, comes out from another end. And our body is built around this highway or the canal. Around this pipe our body is designed. So the body is actually collecting whatever nourishment required from this highway, from this canal. So before it actually allows the food to come inside, there has to be proper scanning. So the stomach is, they said, another intelligent, you know, brain is sitting there. And it keeps scanning. What is this? What is it what given by Mother Earth or not? You know, one who has designed, she is supplying or somebody else is supplying? If Mother Earth is supplying, accept. Mother Earth is not supplying, reject. Then what happens when we eat food loaded with chemicals? The food doesn't get digested at all because so many chemicals, the stomach says, no, this is not food. This is poison. Stop. So all the secretion stops. Digestion stops. And as a result, a lot of health issues come. It's not smooth. You know, like we remember in our childhood how we used to eat food and you digest, you go to sleep, you come back, you have a lot of vigor, a lot of energy, a lot of stamina. Because the food is so much of chemicals, therefore a lot of problems are there. So if we take care of our diet somehow, by organic, and even one of my friend, he's a counselor also. I give Bhagavad Gita classes in BARC, Bhabha Atomic Research Center. One of devotee was a scientist there who attends my class. He was telling me about this ozonization. If we put ozone into the, wash the whole thing with the ozonized water, then the food can be cleansed of chemicals. One step. But then he said more dangerous than these pesticides is the fuming of grains. Rice, pulses like dal. You know, earlier there used to come little black, you know, what do you call it, home or insects would come in the rice. Right? We have seen it, we'll clean it, not kill them. We just take them out and then wash rice and use. Nowadays you don't find them at all. They're not there because the chemicals are there. And every 3 or 4 months they keep fuming these grains. In Western countries, and these are called ethyl bromide and methyl bromide. These are chemicals used to fume it. They're carcinogenic. They cause cancer. By eating rice, you can get cancer. In the West, in the developed countries, they have banned these two chemicals. Then I asked, how do they pack them? And they pack them by minimizing moisture. If moisture is not there, the insect will not come. And by taking out the air, vacuum packing, you know, then it stays high long. But in India, it is still going on, the practice is going on. So then again he said, some papers, research papers shows that by ozonization we can clean that also. Those grains we can clean. So by putting the food into such kind of cleansing system, we can get rid of chemicals. And our body will be more healthy, more vigor, more stamina, more vitality, it will come. So therefore, knowing all these things, we have to find solutions to make our food clean and as much natural as possible. If that is possible, then we can think that food is right. Next is, even if it is organic, pure, free of chemicals, Not that we eat, you know, anything, any time, any amount will be healthy. No. There has to be balanced. There has to be balanced diet. Right? Some people say don't eat oil at all. Some say eat just vegetables. Some say eat just grain. Some say eat just pulses. No grains. No rice or no wheat. Different types of. Some say just drink water. There's a whole therapy of water. So whatever it is, when we see, look into the pages of Ayurveda, things like that, what happens? Our body is made up of carbohydrates, proteins, minerals, vitamins. All these things are building our body. So we need them in our diet. We can't say no oil because we need some fat. Our body needs fat, right? For smooth movement of joints, for example. We need fat. So we can't, unless somebody is very sick, somebody is having heart problems, this, you know, overweight, and they should not eat oil. But in general, we cannot say everybody don't eat oil. We need oil. It has to be balanced. If somebody has created a health issue out of eating too much of oil, then we can say, okay, for him or her, it is less. But for the rest, it doesn't have to be like that. Okay? So, it has to be balanced. Balanced in ingredients and balanced in quantity. Two things. And many people ask, how do I know how much I should eat? You know? This question everybody asks, as if nobody knows it. Actually, everybody knows it, how much to eat. Everyone has this, you know, the moment somebody told me, so you have eaten three rotis in your dinner, three or four rotis you have eaten, then you are contemplating whether I should eat the fifth or not. Should I eat the fifth or not? That is the time we should say it is enough. No need to eat the fifth. The moment we ask this question, should I take the fifth one? No. Because if we stop too much again, there will be digestion problem. So we have to eat balanced quantity and balanced with protein, carbohydrate, fat, whatever. So therefore, you will see in Bhagavad Gita how it explains the food categories. It will come in future. So it has to be organic. It has to be pure, clean. And it should be also balanced. Next is, the food should be sattvic in nature. And here, Bhagavad Gita comes into the picture. Till this, then Bhagavad Gita is not required, you know. But now, we are going a little deeper. That why the food has to be sattvic in nature. So, this triguna, sattvic, rajasic, tamasic, to understand why food should be in mode of goodness, we have to understand these three modes. If you understand these three modes, then we'll understand why the food has to be also in mode of goodness. Okay. So, the three gunas, sattva, rajas, tamas, or goodness, passion, ignorance, are divided according to its nature. So now, when we say sattva or good, it is, sattva means godly. There is order, there is balance, there is selflessness. Today morning, His Holiness Radhan Swami Maharaj is speaking about selfless. That was the point. So that quality emerges from the mode of goodness. Of course, the devotees who have transcended these modes, they naturally display these qualities. But even within material nature, in mode of goodness, one can find a lot of comfort in being selfless. But tamasic is more demoniac, a lot of chaos, a lot of disorder, and there is extremism, and there is selfishness. And in between somewhere is rajogun. So if we see, this sattva means balance, harmony, positivity, peace and clarity. Whereas rajas means a lot of movement, activity, energy, excitement, passion, and tamas is inertia, inactivity, negativity, apathy, dullness. Now, when we speak about these three gunas, these three gunas are everywhere. It is what the whole nature is made up of, material nature. And since we are product of nature, we are also made up of these three nature. Right? Even in us, these three gunas is there. Sattva, rajas, tamas is there. Now because it is in us, actually we need all three of them in our life. To live, to sustain, to continue. We need all these three modes. For example, we need to take rest in the night. Right? Night is known as tamas because it's dark. You know, dull. In dark we cannot see. Our clarity is less. Okay? And in dark, our intelligence doesn't work because we can't see. So that is the time we are supposed to rest. So if I want to take rest, a good quality rest, I need the help of tamas. Without tamas, I can't rest. If I can't rest, how can I work? Similarly, to work, to plan, to scheme, to execute, to achieve, we need passion. Without passion, one cannot work. So the pictures are a little not so nice. But you have to understand, rajas we need. We need rajas. Otherwise, without rajas, we cannot work. Even in devotional service, we have to plan. We have to chalk out all the steps of work activity that we want to do. Then we have to execute it, we have to achieve things. Right? Result is what we don't know, but at least we have to seek out a goal and try to achieve it. Right? That is rajas. And sattva, of course we need sattva, we need a balance. Now what happens? In the night, it is easy to fall asleep, right? In the night time. In the night time, especially after a long day work or a festival activity, we naturally, we don't know when we fall asleep, right? That is nice. But when an alarm goes off, we don't know. The alarm has gone off twice, thrice, sometimes it happens. Others get up, we don't get up. That's not good, right? That's what the problem is. So what happens, if too much tamas, we can't get up. And that's what the problem is. So tamas is, we need tamas, but tamas can create a problem for us. Similarly, rajas, it is difficult to start a work. You know, it requires some kind of inspiration, some kind of push. Devotees don't chant. How many rounds you are chanting, Prabhuji? I'm chanting, chanting one round. Since how long? Since 2 years, 3 years. It's not picking up. So 1 to 16 requires some kind of pushing. Some kind of pushing. Then gradually it goes to 4, 6, 8. Then 16. Right? Some pushing is required. But once it starts, what happens? People plan to do something, but after doing something, it's difficult to stop the work. It happens like that. Most of you must have this experience. Like we start working, then it's difficult to stop working. You know, it's time is over. It's time to go home or time to, you know, call it a day. But we don't. We keep working. These are the nature of passionate activities. Like I remember when I used to study something like history or geography, which are not much of my interest. And if I plan for studying 2 hours, after 2 hours I stop. Okay, it's done. Well, subjects which I used to like to do, I would say, for example, in my case it was mathematics. If I start doing mathematics, it's very difficult to stop. It's like an intoxicating, pullings that keeps you going on late nights, and that can also create a problem. So people who have a passion for certain things, once they start doing it, you'll find it very difficult to stop, and that's not good. Because then less sleep and then indigestion, hyperacidity, hyperanxiety and all these things will follow. So tamas and rajas we require, But if we leave ourselves under the sway of rajas and tamas, it will destroy. It will destroy us. But if there is sattvaguna, sattvaguna is the balance. Balance means, if one has sattvaguna, if we have sattvaguna in ourselves, then what it can do, what it can do, or what it can do, basically, it will stay. It will allow us to go to sleep in time. And if we have sattva in us, then it will help us to get up in time. It will allow us to work. It will allow us to stop the work. If sattva is not there, then it is not possible. So therefore, these three natures, which is everywhere, we need them a lot. At the same time, we need sattva. Now, people don't cultivate much sattva guna. They're not much interested. People are interested in sleeping, interested in working hard and making a lot of money, but nobody wants sattva guna. But the problem is, if we don't have it, these two natures are going to create a lot of problem in our lives. Therefore, first of all, let us understand that we need sattva guna in our life. We need it, because it will balance. If we see that results that comes out of tamasic nature is very quick. For example, falling asleep. Like here inside, even in the class, you know, Sunday afternoon, in the class sometimes we do fall asleep, right? It comes naturally. It's very easy to fall asleep. There is a whole story behind this Kali Yuga satsang programs, that Nidra Devi, she had a issue. She said there is no shelter. Then the whole story is, I don't go to the story, that then she was given a benediction. Wherever there is satsang going on, you can go and sit there to get association. But the problem is, she also gives association and problem, you know, everybody else gets a problem, fall asleep. So you have to strictly take care and try to hold on Krishna's lotus feet. We can save us from that kind of problem. But anyway, it is easy to fall asleep. Tamasic nature is very, because it's all negative. Deny. Do it? No, I don't want to do it. Simple. Laziness. Very easy. Easy to get into it. The results come very quick. You know, I mean, easy to... Rajas is difficult. You know, you have to actually work. Come on, you have to work. Without working, nothing is going to happen. Not a single penny comes without working hard, you know. Those who make money, they know how tough it is, right? To work really hard. Little difficult. So, the activity and the result are separated. It takes some time to achieve it, some time to experience, some time to, you know, to feel it. The result, it takes time. In sattvagun, the separation between practicing and actually getting the result is very long. It's so long that nobody is interested in it. You know, tamasic people are interested, rajasic interested, but sattvic not interested, because the result is not experienced so quickly. In fact, the experience is very subtle. Very subtle. And because of its subtle nature, that experience also sometimes escapes. So if I practice getting up early in the morning and going for, say, for example, sattvic activities, like going for a morning walk, it's a sattvic activity in mode of goodness, nature walk, very early in the morning when sun is just rising, it is cool and calm, the wind is blowing slowly, no traffic, no, you know, all this carbon dioxide exhaust. Pure air, birds, you can hear birds chirping. And such kind of walk opens up our mind, opens up our brain, opens up our heart. It's a very nice, soothing experience. But unless we get up on time and start doing it, it takes some time to appreciate these things. And after long times of practice, if we're walking, say for 20, 30 years, we'll understand that actually this walking gave me good health, right? Consistently, if we walk for every day for 20 years, all the years, after 20, 30 years, we realize, oh, I did a good job by doing this. you know. We don't get a result in 2, 3, 4 months. Some result will come definitely, but the real result, it comes after a long time of practice. Similar with chanting Hare Krishna, although it is not sattvic activity, it is spiritual activity. The spiritual activity result may take even longer. Bahunam janmanam ante, Krishna says, after many, many births, practice of spirituality, one may understand that Krishna is everything, I have to surrender to Him. Therefore, the whole idea is that we have to keep practicing certain things without worrying much about the result. Even in Rajagun activities, whatever we do work for certain target, certain goal, we should not be worried if the goal is there, and that is Karma Yoga basically. Similarly, doing activities in mode of goodness or our spiritual activities, we have to do it regularly, in a very systematic, regular, balanced way. The result will come, if not today, tomorrow, maybe years after, maybe some lifetime after, but it will be there. It will be there. So therefore, we need sattvagun in our life, first of all. This is, it will balance, at least rajas and tamas, it will balance and make our life a little, you know, calm and peaceful. And then, this is what happens. If there is too much of rajas on our right side, then there is overexcited, there is a maniac, obsessive, there is addiction, there is greed, selfish lust, overactive. And this will actually kill, all these things will kill a person. It will shorten our lifespan. Similarly, tamas also, it is dull, there is depression, there is repressed, damaged, neglect, denied, you know, all this. The sattva will balance both. And that is what we look for. And Krishna says, the question is how we can achieve this sattva guna, or how can we increase sattva in us, amount of goodness. Krishna says, karanam guna sangarsa. The more we associate with a particular mode of nature, that nature will acquire. If we associate more and more with mode of goodness, then we will get goodness. If we associate more and more with mode of passion, we will become passionate. If we associate more and more with tamasic nature, then we will be tamasic. Okay. So therefore, if understanding that mode of goodness is so important in our life, therefore those who are in mode of goodness, the brahmanas, they don't have much money, they don't have much wealth, they don't have big houses or, you know, all these opulences, but they are happy. They eat very simple food, just dal, chawal, you know, things like that. But they are happy. But on the other hand, there are people who are very rich, a lot of opulence, but they are in too much of anxiety, they are not happy. So if we don't have, you know, if you have mode of goodness, then it will balance the other three things, other two things. So, and we can achieve it by associating it more and more and more. Now, since food is something that we associate daily, no matter whether we are happy or unhappy, whether rich or poor, whoever we are, by Krishna's arrangement, Krishna's grace, we get something to eat. And the animals, they get their food. Everybody gets their food. So now we have to, if we make our food, since nature is, everything is made up of three modes, and food is also made up of three modes. So if we choose selectively our food to be sattvic, then we'll get a good association of sattvic nature in our life. And that's where the food is very important. Sattvic food is important. And Lord Krishna, you know, food is a subject that is discussed everywhere. It's not just devotees that discuss food. Even the non-devotees, they also discuss food. One of my brahmachari, our devotee, he was telling me that the top three channels on YouTube are on food. Top three or four. Top four channels are on food. So that's how it is popular. So everybody likes to discuss about food. Everybody likes to eat also. Right? Is there anybody who doesn't like to eat? Everybody likes to eat. So now, everyone eats. All of us, we eat. So if we, by our choice, by our discrimination, make our food sattvic, then sattvaguna will naturally increase. And Lord Krishna, although Bhagavad Gita is a philosophy, book of philosophy, and it was discussed on time of, you know, life or death, the question was life or death, you know, so many people gathered to fight to the point of death, very serious point. Even at that point Krishna is speaking about food, you know, third chapter, then ninth chapter, fourth chapter also, then again in 17th chapter Krishna speaks about food. And here he says specifically three types of food. The first one is sattvic. He says, Ayu sattva bala rogya sukha priti vivardhanaha rasya snigdhastra hridya ahara sattvika priya. Those in mode of goodness, they like this kind of food. Suppose somebody says, Prabhuji, I am not in mode of goodness, I am I like other type of foods, what to do? The point is, this food will give us increased duration of life. Now this is very important, because I don't know after how many of lifetime I might have got this opportunity as a human being. I really do not know. And none of the human beings, they actually know after how much struggle we have got this opportunity as a human form of life. Very rare. Because there are 8.4 million species of life. You know, look at the probability of getting a human form of life. It's very rare. Therefore, I was studying some Ayurvedic cookbook. I found in that Ayurvedic cookbook, they're teaching systematically how to cook meat. And I was a little, you know, kind of shocked. You know, Ayurveda is speaking about cooking meat. And I closed the book. I thought, I can't read this book. I just closed it. But after many years, you know, Shyam Balla Prabhu, who just recently unfortunately passed away, I was having a lot of discussion with him about food, because he's an Ayurvedic doctor. So he was telling me that it is all discussed and we need to know these things. And I was wondering why. Then our philosophy, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's philosophy is so nice. It practically answers all questions. Because this human form is so rare, if the person is addicted to meat, the Ayurveda says, let this man first live. Let this person should live. Let him survive first. Then we will speak him what is the good for him, what is not good for him. Right? If he is eating meat and if he doesn't know how to cook it, probably he will die. Right? So rather, cook meat in such and such and such and such and way, and you live a long human form of life. Who knows, after 20, 30 years, he might think about it and give it up. Right? So therefore, this human form is very significant. We can't take it very cheaply. So therefore, Lord Krishna says, this food will increase duration of life. And more time we have, better it is, because today I'm not able to understand certain things, tomorrow I may. Right? Today I am not able to grasp the subject matter of humility, for example. Tomorrow I am not able to grasp what is humility. I am not able to practice it. Tomorrow I may. So let the person leave first for some time, you know. So the whole idea is to encourage, even the lower species can be sacrificed to allow a human form to survive. So that is the whole system of meat eating is allowed to that extent, a person survives. So that tomorrow if he gives up, probably he will increase 10 more other to give up. So many things can happen, so many possibilities are there. So therefore, the human form is always encouraged to live. But Krishna says, this food, which is not meat-based diet, of course, sattvic food, it naturally increases your lifespan. And we should, he's advising us to take this kind of, because he wants us to live. Right? Not only it gives ayu, it begins with ayu, sattva. Sattva means existence or vitality. It gives strength, bala. And it gives arogya, a disease-less body. Rajasic, tamasic food can cause sickness, disease. Short-term, long-term. But sattvic food will not cause sickness. Not only it gives disease-less body, but also it gives sukha, that is happiness. It gives a priti, lot of, you know, Krishna says, purity, existence gives strength, health, happiness and satisfaction. Priti means, sukha priti is basically happiness. Vivardhana. Vivardhana means it gradually will increase all these things in our life. And what is this food? This food is rasya. It's full of juice. Snigdha, it is smooth. You know, like fatty. Sthira hrudya. Again, it gives a kind of satisfaction. Wholesome. Sthira hrudya ahara sattvika priya. Ahara, the food is loved by those who are sattvic in nature. So one way, if we adopt this food in our life gradually, this kind of food, then gradually we will also become sattvic nature will increase in us. And it will help us a lot in our spiritual practices. Because spiritual practice cannot, is not very smooth. Anybody can practice spiritual life, anybody can chant Hare Krishna, there is no discrimination. One can, intoxicated and chant Hare Krishna also, no problem. And Krishna is merciful. Like Jagai Madhava were drinking, but they said, this Gauranga is chanting very nice, singing very nicely, and they would mock Hare Krishna also sometime. Right? It is, there is no discrimination. This is spiritual, especially chanting Hare Krishna is very, very mercy of the Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. No problem. But then, to chant in a way that is pleasing to the Lord will require a sattvic lifestyle. That will be, it will be much better. Therefore, spiritual life, Srila Prabhupada, who actually distributed this knowledge of sattvic food all over the world, because nobody can think of like I'm from a family where they have adopted this sattvic food, and they used to offer also, my mother, father, they used to offer every day. But they didn't have that knowledge, or they didn't have that understanding to convince the children, like myself, to eat this wherever you go. So when I was living in a hostel and other places, I started eating some other things also, friends. And being, grown up in a modern education environment, I was asking why all the time. Sometime, by asking why, especially those who are traditional, which is practiced for a long, long time, if we ask why, we will be the losers. I lost in that sense. We should ask why, but certain respect for certain things has to always be there, without a question. So anyway, so Srila Prabhupada, that's the point, he went to so many different places, different countries, different people he met, and different foods, have a different food style, different lifestyles, but he actually convinced everyone to take to this. And the kitchens, I remember my mother village, very remote place, I'm speaking about early 80s, late 70s or early 80s, I don't remember exactly. But I used to go to that village, very remote. To reach that village, those days there was, you have to go by bus, then you have to take an auto rickshaw, then you have to abandon auto rickshaw, go by bullock cart. Then a river comes, you abandon that bullock cart, I was wearing half pants, so I would just walk, others would lift their cloth and across the river. Another bullock cart on the other side. Then you put a luggage on that bullock cart. Then that goes to the village. That how remote that was. Just two lanes of village. In one lane, all the gentlemen there's living. The other low caste people are living. So in this lane, what to speak of cooking meat in the kitchen, because kitchen is an altar. Kitchen is actually an altar, because there yagya is done, there is cooking is done. In Jagannath Puri, they do a yagya fast in the morning in the kitchen, then they start cooking for Jagannath. So it's a place where all the ahutis are actually done, the sacrifice is done. So there is no question of bringing meat to the kitchen. So to that whole lane, meat would not enter. How to speak up to inside the home, inside the kitchen. If anybody helplessly wants to eat something like this, then they have to go to the other lane where the low caste would be living. And even in their homes, they would not cook in the kitchen. It will be cooked in the garden outside, setting up a chula. And they would cut the animal and do all those things. My point is, when these people, they came out from the village to the cities, and there is not much of culture and all these kind of things are like kind of compromised. So all this unwanted food entered the kitchen. Earlier they used to eat outside in the hotel or in the other places, but now it entered the kitchen. Then, but they would not drink at home, those people who came. But their children, they said, eat drinking at their home. So that became another issue later. I have seen all these things happening. So Srila Prabhupada such a fantastic activity. He brought the religion back to the kitchen, basically. That religion was gone out of the kitchen, because all this flesh, bone, blood, cooking in a pot, it's such a horrible thing. So Srila Prabhupada, he purified everybody's kitchen and brought the beautiful Krishna Prasad to the world. Basically, it been brought back to India also. Like, now we are all convinced about it. So therefore, Lord Krishna is explaining that if we need a balance in life, we have to take to food in mode of goodness. And then it will help. The rajasic food that are too bitter, too sour, too salty, hot, pungent, dry and burning are due to those in mode of passion. Burning in like chilies. Therefore I kept the chili in. I'm not against the burger in the picture. I'm against the chili. Okay. Burger can be also in the mode of goodness, no problem. But too much chili, too much salt, too much spices, it hurts. It's Krishna saying burning. So mode of passion is such that they're not satisfied. Lot of hankering. Satisfaction is not there. So they don't feel, they don't enjoy food which does not hurt them. It has to pinch. It has to hurt. When it hurts, now it's happening. It's happening. But they're actually destroying themselves. Yeah, so the rajasic, the passion is that which will, by nature, it will destroy. Then we don't have to discuss the detail. Srila Vaishnava Thakur Pada, while explaining, he says, when Krishna speaks about rajasic, when Krishna speaks about sattvic food, he speaks about its good qualities in the beginning, ayu, bala, rogya and all those things. And later he speaks about its qualities. But when it comes to rajasic food, he speaks about the quality of the food in the beginning, bitter, sour, whatever it is. Doesn't speak about the result, because the result is miserable. He doesn't know what to do. He is very sensitive. Krishna is very sensitive. He doesn't, want to, spoil people's mood. In the beginning, he speaks about katu amula labanati, salty food, potato chips, loaded with salt and chili. But such food causes distress, misery and disease. So that's the problem. Similarly, tamasic, yata amam gata rasam, food prepared more than 3 hours before being eaten. So Prabhupada writes 3 hours. So, Gaurang Prabhu, he was wanting us to make our kitchen below, ISO. So some 7-8 years back, we started doing all this ISO, you know, what do you call, rituals or not rituals, the activity to make it pass the ISO test. And there it is said that food which is cooked has to be served out in 4 hours because the bacteria starts spoiling it. When the bacteria starts spoiling it, it becomes tamasic. Of course, Mahaprasad is never tamasic. It is said even if it is coming from a long distance, it's spoiled and putrefied, still we should honor it with a grateful heart. And appreciating, honoring, and that's how we should treat Mahaprasad. But in general, when you speak about health, if it is cooked and it's 3 hours, 4 hours passed, we're not supposed to eat it. Therefore, we had a lot of discussion about the quantity of cooking. Damodar Prabhu, Tulsi Prabhu, all of us, mostly two of them, I was just cooking. They had to decide how much to cook so that we don't left with more, you know, prasad after being eaten and being spoiled. So that was the whole, that's how we got a lot of control over quantity. Therefore, we could manage big yatra cooking also because of that experience. It helped us to manage the quantity of food in yatras also. Anyway, the point is, after 3 hours it starts spoiling. So therefore, those who are habit of eating food which is cooked in the morning and they eat in the evening, it's not good. But yes, in according to ISO, there is a way out that if we keep food hot, that is above 60 degrees Celsius, then it is not spoiled. Keep hot food hot. And keep cold food cold, like below 5 degrees Celsius. Because the bacteria are active between 5 and 50. This is called danger zone. The most dangerous zone is 40 to 60. So if it is 40 degrees Celsius, it will spoil very quickly. Sometimes you will see you have kept dal for 6-7 hours, then it's just heated it up. As soon as you heat it up, it spoils. Because the bacteria is already there, when you raise to 40 degrees Celsius, the bacteria starts growing quickly. And the food is really bad. You can't eat it. It happens. So therefore, always better to eat fresh. Or if it is too much of difficult to have fresh food, then you keep food hot or cold. Then there is no bacteria in it, then you can heat it up and eat it. But that's in case that's the only way that is left out. Otherwise, fresh and within 3 hours. Okay. Few more things we'll discuss. Next is, so even if it is organic, free of chemical, what else? Anybody remembers? Sattvic in nature. Balanced. One point you missed. Balanced. Yeah. So if it is balanced and organic, all these things. But if we don't have agni or fire in our stomach, then even if everything is met, still you cannot be healthy. We are speaking basically about diet for the body, healthy body. So all these points are met, but if we don't have digestive fire and if we cannot digest, then that food is not going to help us. It is going to simply spoil within our stomach. That which is happening outside after 3 hours will start happening inside our body, inside our system, creating disease. Therefore, we need to have a good digestive fire. Or in other words, we should eat according to the amount of fire we have in our stomach. We should not eat more than our agni can handle. And to understand that, we need to understand the nature of our body. This is where Ayurveda comes into picture. Okay. So, vegetarian food, then sattvic in nature, that is Bhagavad Gita. And some Ayurveda that speaks about the nature of our body in terms of kapha, vata, pitta. Okay. So if we understand the nature of our body, then our nature of food will change. If our nature of body is kapha prakriti, then my food will be like one type. If your prakriti is pitta, then your food will be another type. Very simple. Therefore, even while earlier, before the marriages, they would consider the nature type, astrology and Ayurveda, all these things, the nature. So that, suppose both are totally different nature, husband and wife, they have to cook, you know, different things, and a lot of problems it may happen. But if the natures are matching, then it will be more efficient family life. So they used to, very very scientific actually, earlier they used to do a lot of things, lot of research before deciding certain things. But anyway, as far as my food is concerned, I have to understand my nature. Another way also, you see, earlier the sadhus, they would cook their own food, right? In India we know these things. Like even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, home, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's, Jagannath Mishra, Sachimata, they're all high class brahmanas, living in dham, very pure life, next to Ganga. But when the visiting brahmana came to their home, he insisted that he will cook. In one sense, the food that we cook is easier for us to digest, because my nature will not allow me to cook something that will not suit my nature, isn't it? When I add salt, my hand will go as much salt as my body requires, right? It will never put salt according to somebody else's desire. Spices, whatever I put, oil, vegetables, choice of vegetables, everything will go according to my nature, naturally. So therefore it is always safe to cook our own food. It's always safe. Or within the family, because we come from our mother's body, our mother knows our body better than anybody else. Okay, therefore everybody says my mother's food is the best. Why? Because she cooks exactly what we need. Because she knows it, nobody else can know. Not that other mothers are not good, they're also good. But they're good for their children. So it is like that. So therefore, we need to understand our nature. Nowadays, because of all this hotel, restaurant culture and industries and food industries, nobody knows. Because it is tasting good, I'm eating it. The tasting is not because of food, but because of the chemicals. So therefore it is one for all. Kapha vata pitta, everybody likes potato chips. That's where the whole, then we hanker for that thing and we forget the good thing, what is good for us. But therefore we need to understand what is my nature. And for that, the best way to understand is just start cooking your own food. Go to kitchen. Spend some time. And it is very nice, because it is a very recreating activity. I found, I have studied engineering and did all those things. But when I entered kitchen, I found it very, very, very welcoming. Very, very recreating, you know. You can look at the spices, look at the grains, look at vegetables. You can mix them in different ways. And cook and offer and feed devotees. It's a wonderful experience. When I started, I was told to look after the devotee kitchen, some 2007. So I started entering and started cooking a little bit. Then Gaurang Prabhu also joined. He also came in, he was cooking. Then I asked Prabhuji, why are you coming? You know, we can manage. You do your, that time he was vice president, so many college teaching activities, so many activities. Why are you coming to kitchen? He said, no. Whatever management stress happens there, I release it here. So for me, it is very recreating. So everyone, we have more or less some kind of recreation we need. Whether it is painting or, writing a piece of poetry, or even cooking can be a recreation. It's some time, we can spend a quality time in kitchen, hearing a lecture, reading some kirtan. It's a very good time to hear, actually. The best lecture that I've heard was while cooking and hearing. Best. best hearing was because you can't fall asleep while cooking. You can't fall asleep. And after some time of an experience of cooking, everything goes very naturally. You know what's boiling, what's frying, what things are happening, and you can hear. Very attentive hearing happens. So it's a really good recreating activities, and we should try this. And then we'll understand our nature also better. Of course, if there is a lot of confusion regarding our nature, we need to meet an Ayurvedic doctor. They will tell what is actually good for us, what is not good for us, and we try to sift. Because of all this restaurant and all this background of years of eating here and there, we have practically forgotten what is good for us. So therefore, we may need a consultancy of a doctor. Okay, so therefore, even if the food is right, organic and balanced and sattvic, still it has to suit our nature. I don't have time to speak more about kapha tapit, I'll just go ahead. Then the diet for the mind, that was diet for the body. But the diet for the mind, three things: mood of cook, mood of server, mind, and third is mood of the consumer, the one who's eating. Okay. Mood of cook, it has to be proper. When I give this, I tell this story everywhere. When I started studying outside in university and was living in a hostel, the food was served in our hostel was vegetarian and quite good. Four times. Actually, five times. There used to be early morning tea also, around 5:30. And then there is breakfast, and there is lunch, and then there is snacks, and there is dinner. So, good. But then within weeks, we are missing our home food, and I had no idea why. We just, there the weekend was there, and some joining 3-4 days more leaves were there. So we just ticket booked and went back to home. Then came back again. Later I understood that the food may be tasty and all those things, and a lot of care is taken looking after the protein, fat and all those things. But what mother cooks, even if it is very simple, very very simple food, she puts a lot of affection into it. And that affection nourishes our mind. Like one of my friend, he was a mess secretary in the hostel. So if he would come late from the laboratory, some experiment going on, he would be late for the dinner, the cook has to wait because he's a mess secretary. Others, him in her. So one day I came with him. He said, well, I also missed the dinner. He said, no, come with me. He took me. But then we found the cook kept only some, chapati garam banane ke liye, dough, only for him, not for me, because. So suddenly I appeared. So he was a little upset because he had to make a little more dough and make more roti, and we could see it, we could feel it. Just think of a situation. You are going your home and you pick up your friend with you and you tell your mother, I have a friend to have dinner with us. And she will be happy, right? And she will be happy. She will say, just wait 5 minutes more because I have to make more dough and things like that. Just wait 5 minutes, it will be ready. The two situations are completely different. One person is bringing in chapati with a lot of negativity in his heart and mind. It's not just protein and carbohydrate that is coming onto my plate. All the negative thoughts also coming with that chapatis. Right? It enters into my system, into my mind. In the same way, when mother serves a chapati, it comes with her affection. With her enthusiasm. With her love. It comes. And with that, same chapati, same carbohydrate, protein, everything, butter, ghee, whatever it is. But it nourishes our mind. So when this guy serves chapati, after three we say, no, enough, you go home now. But when mother gives, we can't stop eating. 5, 6, 7, 8 and we digest it also because mind is happy. So, therefore, the person who's cooking has to have a proper disposition towards the people who are going to consume, going to eat, going to be served. So if we have that in our mind, then the food will nourish. If we miss that, then there will be problems. So therefore, when we have going through negative thoughts and all those things, we have to just sit back, relax, chant few rounds, settle everything, then enter the kitchen. Because it's going to affect the people. Because mother's affections are so overwhelming, even if she's in a very negative situation, she can still manage to make a good meal. So don't tell your mothers, no, calm down. We don't have to tell them because their love is really overwhelming. It doesn't matter how situation is negative, bad, still they can manage a good meal. But it can't happen with others. In general, the principle is, of course, we have to keep our mothers also happy. That situation should be that the cooking has to be done in a very nice way. So therefore, cooking for deities, all those things, we have to be very careful. That mode of server, of course, while serving, you know. Gaurabhu tells many funny story. So, in the festivals, our devotees tend to serve. But then, the sweet item, they serve little less. Why? Because the queue is very long. And if it's served out, I'm not going to get anything in the end. So therefore, there's just a little bit of, they withdraw. Although the managers, they say, no, we have cooked enough, don't worry, it will be there for you, but still, you know, the mind doesn't allow, very risky. Risky. So then, that's not the idea, you know. We should be ready to cook more if it is over, and the person who's serving should be serving happily. That doesn't happen, and then again, when mother, they serve, they don't keep anything back. They bring everything in the front, like in this picture if you see. She brings every items right in front of the family. Nothing behind her. And whatever they want, she keeps serving. And sometimes we are so, you know, what do you say, merciless. We eat right in front of her everything. And she has to cook again for something for her. It happens. Anyway, so the point is, it has to be served with a lot of care and then things will be nice. And what is the mood of the person who is going to eat? So here the picture is not so good, but that's the reality, isn't it? And there is a nice connection to this story. That is, a lion is chasing, a tiger is chasing the deer, and deer is running for its life. Just before this moment, the deer was grazing happily, green grass. So what happens? When the tiger appears in the scene, the deer stops eating first. They smell a tiger, something like that. So what happens in our body? There is two nervous system. We have two nervous system. One is voluntary, the other is involuntary nervous system. The voluntary nervous system, it works on our command. Like I'm speaking because I want to speak, or I'm given the seva to speak, I'm doing it. This is all voluntary. Right? I move my hand, I pick the glass, I drink water. This is all voluntary. Another is involuntary. Like something comes, my eyes closes. The eye doesn't wait for my command. Then I lose the eye. The involuntary command, involuntary nervous system is designed to protect us from dangers, from death. It is designed like that. It is, we can say it is controlled by Super Soul himself. Krishna himself controls. It doesn't wait for our, you know, orders. It just acts. So when the deer sees a tiger, its digestive system stops. The digestive secretion stops. It is not time to eat anymore. It's time to run. The digestion stops. Secretion stops. The heart starts beating very heavy, pounding. Normally, if we run some distance, our heart starts pounding, right? Standing at one point, does it pound on its own? No. It is involuntary. It is made to pound. Why? So that more oxygen can be taken, more blood can flow, and we can get stamina to run for life. So the deer runs to save life. It gets the energy, run. But then many times it happens, so the tiger catches. And after the tiger catches the deer now knows it's over. So a lot of hormones, pain hormones that are secreted within the system, so that it doesn't experience the pain of death. You know, so the nature has designed it like that. They won't feel any pain anymore after a certain point. So all those hormones are secreted. But then it may so happen that the tiger is a hunter, and the tiger runs for its life, leaving the deer alive. Just caught, but left to live. Then the researchers, they have studied such deers who have escaped the jaws of death, of tiger. They have gone through such a deep trauma, deep stress, that their digestive system does not restart. It doesn't restart. It fails forever. So they try to eat grass, but they can't digest. They try to eat this and that. After 30-40 days, they die. They don't survive. That stress has killed them. That means, if we also have a lot of stress in us, then we can't digest food. So that is the point. And all of us, because we are humans, we have certain capacity to handle stress, therefore we are still able to eat. But the fact is, school days were better than college days. Why? Because school days we had less stress. College days, entrance exam, campus. So stress increases. Then job, career, then marriage, then children. All these things, they gradually increase a person's stress level, anxiety levels. So if we don't know how to handle the stress, then even if it is organic and everything, sattvic, and according to our nature, still we can't digest. So therefore, before eating especially, we have to relax to prepare ourselves. When especially when we are eating Mahaprasad, Prasad of the Lord, we have to prepare. We have to go. Going in front of Prasad is going in front of Krishna actually. So we have to go in a proper way, proper attitude, and then that food can actually nourish. Otherwise it can't nourish. So earlier, our tradition, if you see, all these things are done very natural, habitual way. Wash your feet, wash your hand, wash your face, or take a bath. Now Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to take every day noontime bath before prasad. He used to take because it cools down. A shower actually cools down the system. It fires the agni, makes us ready for the food. So how to overcome all this stress is basically, it's not possible just by few techniques. There are two ways to overcome stress. One is from outside inside, like I'm saying, taking a bath or washing our feet and all those things, or relaxing a little bit. There is another way, is from inside out. Inside out means from within we have power of tolerance. Within we have power of the quality of humility. If those qualities are there from within, then also the stress cannot touch us. And that is more powerful way to handle stress. Therefore, we need a spiritual practice. We need to chant Hare Krishna. It is, of course, Hare Krishna chanting is to please Krishna. But we need certain shelter where all this stress, can be released. We can let go. Therefore, some kind of spiritual practice is actually needed. Just like we need sattvagun, similarly we need a spiritual practice to increase these qualities of tolerance, humility. All those qualities can actually increase by proper practice of a proper spiritual person. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given us the chanting of Hare Krishna, Tranadapi, Swanichena, Tararapi, Sahishnuna. All these qualities will help to chant, and chanting will help to increase these qualities, and gradually will be able to handle. We have seen devotees going through a lot of difficulties, but able to, right? They have gone through the problems like having cancer disease, almost. They have also left bodies in cancer, but they have handled it so well, that that's the glory of devotional service, devotional life, spiritual life. So one devotee was giving a class, our Ravi Gupta, what's his initiated name, I forgot, Professor Radhika Raman Roya. He was saying, who is the happiest man? I will end with this. So who is the happiest man? He says, one who dies happy is the happiest person. I found it very interesting, because when I was studying in school, in 10th standard, till 10th standard, 10th I was good in education, but before that I was just writing exam and passing. I was not bothered how, what rank and whatever. But some of my friends, they are topping all the time. One of them, he was a Muslim boy, very big name. He was topper all the time, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 also, 10th standard also. And he had his twin sister, and she was topping in girls' high school. And he was topping in our school. Till 10th he was topper. But 11th, 12th, our education from our, you know, our mother tongue, it changed to English. 11th, 12th, we started studying in English, everything. So they couldn't handle English at all. And both of them could not pass 12th exam for at least 3 years. I don't know what happened later, because I moved away. And there, all these are the toppers, but then in the, at the end, there are failures. We are not toppers, but we went ahead. Who's happy? In that sense, I was just thinking about this. It's a very sad story, but true. Similarly, we may have many things in our life, many achievements, many goals, many, many things we may achieve. But if at the time of death we are not happy, then all these happinesses have no meaning. Right? So therefore, whatever we are doing, whatever we are achieving, whatever it is may be, it's not going to stay with us. What is going to stay with us is proper spiritual practice, chanting of Hare Krishna. And if we do that nicely, you know, at the time of death, it can actually help us. And we can antakalachamam. We can think of Krishna and then very happy, and there is nothing to worry about, because if we know where we are going, if we have very clarity, then there is no fear. There is no fear. There is only excitement. There is actual excitement. So the last is the food for the soul. Yeah. So what is the food for the soul? So yeah, yes, it may be organic, it may be all those things, sattvic and according to our agni. But we may be thinking, well, it is not meat, but it is still sinful. Why? Because this world is designed in such a way that if I have to live, somebody else has to die. You know, that's the way this world is designed. Jiva jiva sa jivanam, Bhagavatam speaks. That if I want to live, somebody else has to die. So how can I claim that I am a good person? I cannot claim that I am a good person when I am my survival. So many things, so many entities are actually dying every moment, every minute. Killing. So our whole existence is actually sinful in that sense. So the whole purpose of human life, animals are doing it anyway, but at least we should live to purify ourselves. We should live. As much life we are taking while being living, we have to do certain things that is glorious. You know, we have, our contribution should be more than the contribution of the life that we are taking. You know, at least that balance we have to make. That I'm living, okay, somebody is dying, I'm living. I should contribute more than that person, that life form which I'm taking away, is able to offer.
You should try to do that. And that is possible only if we have a spiritual life. There is no, you just see, look at it, it's not possible. So therefore, the food we eat, it has to be a food which is offered in sacrifice. There's a sacrifice. The plants are dying, the vegetables are dying. Of course, there are so many things about it. The yogis, they don't eat, they just breathe and live, some of them very advanced. And some just drink water and live. Even drinking water, even breathing air, we kill bacteria, right? Kill so many entities. But less. But those who are drinking water, even they also kill. Those who can't do that, they eat only the leaves that is falling from the trees, only they eat that leaf. Because it's falling on its own. Or they eat fruits and give the seed back to the nature, not taking life of the seeds. But when we eat grains, grains means life. Every grain has millions of plants inside it. Right? Right? So therefore, the anna, especially anna, it has to be offered in sacrifice to Krishna. And those who are eating meat, goat, and Lord Krishna doesn't take, you know, chicken and all those things, meat and all those things. They are offered to tamasic, you know, deities like, Kali and the Lord of tamasic nature, Lord Shiva and Kali. They are the Lord of that nature. They are not tamasic. They are pure. So they offer to them. But Vishnu, Krishna, Patram, Pusmam, Phalam, Toyam. So that is the standard that Krishna set for himself. So therefore, Anna, it is good that Krishna is accepting in Yajna, in sacrifice, when we offer it. And that, when we eat, that is the promise. That we are grateful for eating this, but will contribute more. When in that spirit we eat, then instead of getting entangled, we get disentangled. The food purifies us. So therefore, not only eating the right food, but it has to be offered in sacrifice to Krishna. So the devotees, of course, I know devotees, we do this thing, but let us do it with more emphasis and more, you know, right spirit, that the food we eat has to be offered, so that it will entangle us. Thank you. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. We are over time, so I'll stop here. Thank you. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna.
Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimad Bhakti Vedanta Swami Inti Namine Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Pa పశ్చాత్ దేశతారనే నమస్తే సరస్వతి దేవ గౌరవాణి ప్రచారనే నిర్విశేష శూన్యమాని పశ్చాత్ దేశతారనే శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధర శివ సది గౌర భక్త బృంద హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ 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 హరే హరే సబ్ బోలియే హరే రామ 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 హరే 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 కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ 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 హరే 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 రామ 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 హరే హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ 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 హరే 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 కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ 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 హరే 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 కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ 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 హరే హరే ఎవ్రీబడీ